The Anton Savage Show with Kearies.ie on News Talk.
There's not many people who, as soon as they open their mouth, everybody knows who they are by the sound of their voice. My next guest is most definitely one of those small cohort of people. She is the one and only Anne Doyle. Anne, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Lovely to be here.
Now, there is much we have to talk about. Before we get to the much, we need to talk about the Westmeath Bachelor Festival, at which you are a judge.
Indeed I am, for my sins. I have presided, along with an illustrious panel, over two previous festivals, and here we go again.
In a question I never thought I'd ask you, what do you look for in a good bachelor?
Well, I suppose maybe I was too fussy, Anton, because I'm not sure that I ever found one. Really what we're looking at are very talented, interesting, charismatic, modern men. Now, they might not tick all those boxes, but you would be surprised, I can tell you, after
really?
The last 2 years. Fantastic. And I started off, this was planned initially and obviously went off the radar because of COVID. And I was really surprised the first year at how confident the guys were and how talented.
Now, do they have to be from Westmeath themselves, or is it merely enough to show up in Westmeath?
Oh, it's merely enough to show up. And in fact, the winner the first year was a Kerry man.
Ah.
Last year, the chap was from just outside. He was a Westmeath man. And he was extraordinarily good, actually. I wondered, you know, what he'd be like, because he was singing a song that he had composed, and I thought, do you know, he was fantastic.
Was it the same panel of judges last year?
No, well, the fixed in the sky, in the firmament, are Louis and myself, and I am dying to hear all the gossip from Big Brother. Well, I mean,
this is why I was asking, was because the thought of, if you're going to sing a song, of all of the people to sing a song in front of, Louis Walsh.
Yes, and one that you've composed.
That's gutsy.
Actually, Louis is, well, I suppose it's, you know, obvious that he would be very good, because he has a lifetime of experience at a very high level. But I noticed that he's very encouraging.
Louis!
Yes, no, I haven't heard the inside track on Big Brother, I wait to hear. But he certainly is very encouraging with the people who perform.
Now, I don't mean to be disparaging about Louis, more just the TV persona that we have seen is him being acerbic to acts on The X Factor.
Well,
but
forthright,
I suppose
right, perhaps, is a kind of word.
A much kind of
acerbic, never.
Did you watch any of Big Brother?
I did, of course, and I wouldn't have only for Louis.
What did you make of it?
Well, I was fascinated, to tell you the truth. I certainly wouldn't have watched it if it didn't include somebody that I knew or had an interest in, because I don't look at an awful lot of television, and I wouldn't have really been overly familiar with a number of the other residents. Fern Britton, I would have known from TV, but I think Louis was indubitably the star performer. I mean, let's face it, I wasn't the only one who tuned in just to see Louis.
Yes, Louis made a vast pile of money, but it seems to have been money well spent. He delivered the ratings.
He absolutely delivered. They got value for money there. I think it would have been quite flat without him.
Did you ever watch much TV?
No, I didn't, Anton. Just, first of all, I suppose I was practically grown up before we had a TV at home. I always listened to the radio, although the wireless was the man. And then a series of cold water bed sits where you rented a TV, or you didn't rent it, or you didn't pay the 2 and 4 pence that you were supposed to pay. And then I had, for many years, a boyfriend who was very keen on television. He had particular programs that he was very interested in, and I wasn't overly pushed. And in the interest, I suppose, of peace and harmony, I just, you know, let it go. And it certainly wasn't going to be an era where you would have, you know, a different set in different rooms. Come to think of it, there weren't too many different rooms, and you weren't going to have different Sky boxes or whatever. I realise we've moved on to the world of streaming and all of that. So, yeah, I never really formed the habit that much.
So does that mean that what you got into when you got into it wasn't TV, it was radio? Your original in, your original attraction into broadcasting was the radio side?
Yes, absolutely.
So when did you make the leap to TV? Was it fairly quick?
Well, it wasn't so much a leap as I was pushed. it shows a curious, I suppose, look, it's the way life is. I was keen to get into radio, if I was keen at all. I applied for the job of newsreader in RTE. That included television. It was television and radio. And then somebody along the way, or some group of people, decided who would do what. I would have to say that many of my colleagues then would have favoured television. I favoured radio. So I was put on television and my colleagues were on radio. And so it goes. Life is like that.
Where then did the voice come from? Were you not born with it, obviously, because it would have taken you a few years to start talking. But is the voice naturally occurring and is the diction naturally occurring? Or did you train yourself to have that voice?
Well, my diction is not necessarily all it might be. I didn't really train myself. I certainly learned over the years to eliminate some of the errors. But I think I began to talk when I was quite small, and I did chatter on a lot since. I was a little bit of a shy show-off, and I did like to recite any little poem I learned or whatever, badly, mainly to amuse my family, not in a good way. You know, I couldn't say the letter R for years as young children.
Could you not?
No, but young children often don't. And I had unfortunately learned quite a lot of little poems that had, you know, by the stream and o'er the mead and that sort of thing. And of course, daft little thing that I was, the brothers, they'd get me to say that one, they'd all fall around laughing. Actually, they were innocent days. But yeah, I mean, I suppose I tried to improve.
But hang on a minute, did your oars arrive naturally by coincidence, or did you have to build them?
No, they just came.
Did they?
One day I didn't notice, and I wasn't saying stream anymore. I was blissfully unaware of this little difficulty at the time. I think it's a thing that you quite often go out of. It's not unusual in small children.
Now, you said we are in a different era now with Sky boxes and iPads and sets and all the room and all the rest of it. At the point at which you got pushed into television, there was, for a lot of the country, but two channels. There was but one channel in a large chunk of the country. The level of fame and public recognition you must have had in that period must have been off the charts.
Well, it was quite extraordinary, really. But there weren't very many of us presenting news. There were obviously quite a lot of people working in news. In fact, that was one of the things that astounded me, because I was a total greenhorn. I had no idea how news arrived, where it came from. So when I went into the old newsroom, which was a clattering world of typewriters and wire rooms. And yes, you couldn't possibly remember any of that.
Believe it or not, I remember.
Have you a hazy memory?
I got brought into the wire room where it was an office filled with what looked like fax machines, but were telex machines, is that what it was at the time? All just chattering, spitting paper out from various different wire services.
I wondered if you just possibly...
Amazing.
You would have been a very small lad.
I was a small boy at the time, yes.
It occurred to me you might have been someone that would have actually seen that. Most people your age would have no concept.
It was amazing. And the activity.
I had no concept either. So when I landed in there, and suddenly this was a very busy place, because there was, you know, not the same extensive news coverage there is now, but there was a lot of news. And, of course, technically, it was far more difficult to produce. So that was a big eye-opener for me. the idea of being recognised, I found that extremely strange.
Strange good or strange bad? Did you like it?
No, I didn't really. I don't mean that I found it awful. I'd have to say that the huge majority of people, and that would remain the case, would be extremely civil to you. So, and there was an element of liking that. I mean, you're not shrinking. Nobody shrinks away from being told, "Ah, lovely to see you, and you're great," and it's whatever. But I found it quite nerve wracking, and I wasn't a shy person, but it took a lot of getting used to.
Now, the other thing, and this is one that I wanted to know from you. At that time, one of the things that I think has changed slightly is newsreaders have been, news presenters have been somewhat humanized. There is a view now that they are just normal like the rest of us, but they do a job. At the point at which you would have started off and through the 80s and 90s, there was still that sort of Charles Mitchell flavor to the newsreader. There was an authority, there was a respectability, all the rest of it. In the middle of which, you French kissed Brendan O'Connor on Don't Feed the Gondolas.
Well, he didn't complain overly, I have to say. I mean, he took it well. You know, he manned up there and it was, it didn't go down awfully well. From my perspective, on a personal level, it was just fine. I did get into a bit of trouble over it.
Well, that's what I'm curious about. What was the reaction internally? Because whatever about newsreaders dancing on...
I didn't actually think very much about it. One way. No offence now to Brendan, lovely man. I didn't think it would have had the effect it caused the reaction.
Really?
I swear to God, I didn't. I mean, I must have been, an innocent abroad in ways. And I remember saying to somebody, a couple of people had said to me, "You might be in a spot of trouble there, Anne." And I was at a party or something on the night that the programme went out, or whatever time of the day it went out. It must have been night time. And somebody who had seen it, whose opinion I would value as being very sensible, I said, "Did you see that programme?" I might have even said, "Would you watch that programme?" "Yes." "What did you think of it?" Grand, went very well. You might have been spot a bother over the last couple of minutes. And I thought, oh dear. So I did have a little spot of bother.
Were your knuckles wrapped?
No, obliquely. RTE can be quite oblique.
You don't say.
Yeah, you may have noticed. The director of news of the time was spoken to by the Director General. I presume the discussion about my behaviour was not complimentary. And I remember hearing back the comment, one of the comments was that, you spend years building up somebody's credibility and just like that, they throw it all away. That remark I resented. What I had done might or might not have been foolish, but certainly I did not regard anybody as having spent years building up my credibility. I thought I'd managed to do that reasonably well myself by turning up to work every day, clean, sober, and, doing the best I could. And the director of news of the day had a most wonderful riposte, which he shared with me. He said, "But she's delivered us." It was probably, what was RTE2, it was called at the time. "But she's delivered us, all the youngsters from RTE2. What's the problem?" I thought it was, I admired him for it. It was a fine defence. I heard no more about it.
You must have got a reaction on the street, though. I mean, I still remember at the time thinking, "By God, Anne Doyle." I was thinking, whew, that was risky.
You never said a word.
But you must have got a positive reaction. People must have come up to you and said, "Fair play to you."
I don't think very many people were particularly bothered. I think they enjoyed it, or they thought, or maybe they thought, "Oh, that bold one," or whatever. But I mean, look, people treated it as a bit of, as you say, there was a rather severe, I suppose, atmosphere involved in the presentation of news, mainly because of the nature of news. And people obviously now know that anybody who's doing a job does the best they can, and we are all weak vessels. And what was I to do with handsome Brendan there?
Do you miss it at all? Not kissing Brendan O'Connor. The news presentation, do you miss that at all?
I don't really, Anton, no. I left RTE over a decade ago. 12 years
ago. Isn't that long?
Mm. Yeah. Forgotten but not gone, as they say. Yeah, so, you know, the inner workings of RTE now are probably less known to me, I suspect, than they might be to you. That being said, to come back to the, you know, what appears to have gone on forever, but in fact is still less than a year, really. It was the early summer, wasn't it? Yeah. I was absolutely staggered. I must say that I quite underestimated the nature of what was to come. You know, in the early stages, and it was the burning topic of the day and all of that, I still didn't realise quite how serious the ramifications would be. I didn't realise that at all. I would never have foreseen, for example, the massive drop in the licence fee. You know, I just didn't anticipate that kind of reaction, even as it unravelled further.
Well, that goes back to the thing when you talk about the, if you go back to the 80s or 90s and you went to anybody in the newsroom and said at the time, listen, there will be a day where RTE will be in a scandal of its own making, where people will willfully and as a mark of protest refuse to pay their licence fee en masse. You say, sure, that could never happen.
I would never have, never. But for goodness sake, Anton, I find it difficult to get my head round when it did happen now.
Now, there's a question I think that gets asked of people who have been in the public eye, which is, if they are not continuing in the public eye, they get addressed as if they have been put in a fridge. People say, and what are you doing now? Like, your life has evaporated because I haven't seen you on the telly. So let me do it to you. What are you doing now, Anne?
Probably pretty much what everybody else does. The only time that I have, I think, ever felt, you know, testy by being asked that is when I'm asked by somebody who, to the best of my knowledge, you know, people of my acquaintance have never kicked the fire off their foot in their entire lifetime, you know. So, you know, maybe occasionally you might say, a bit of this and that, and what about yourself? Did you ever take up a job or anything? But I do what everybody does, Anton, except I don't have to go to work every day, which I find a splendid arrangement.
You are going to be, as I said, judging the Westmeath Bachelor Festival. If you want to take part, are entries still open?
Yes, they are.
Is it like the Rose of Tralee? Has it changed? Do they have to be a single man, or can they be a wedded bachelor?
I don't think they can be a wedded bachelor.
Can they not?
They be a wedded?
Well, you know,
bachelor,
the way the Rose of Tralee has changed, and it's now a camellia for everybody. I mean, anybody can be a rose now. Back in the day, you know, it had to be a throwback.
I was a judge in that once.
What year was it? Do you recall?
Oh, it's donkeys years ago.
Who was presenting? Was it Gabo? Derek Davis? Darcy? It was pre-Dahi O'Shea?
It Ray.
Tuberty? Ah.
There were several of us, and we were there for, I think, about 4 or 5 days.
Well, if you are a young single man who would like to subject yourself to 3, possibly 4 days of inspections by Una Healy, Louis Walsh.
No, they won't have, will they? Stop that. They'll have a lovely time.
It is westmeathbachelorfestival.com. Anne Doyle, thank you so much.
An absolute pleasure.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.